This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Heightened verbal sparring. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, March 4. Glad you could be with us. And here's what's up this hour.
The remaining Republican presidential candidates squared off in another debate last night. Trump fired back at attacks from his two main rivals, Rubio and Cruz.
In proof of how unique this election cycle is, the last two former Republican presidential nominees have now publicly blasted current frontrunner Donald Trump.
North Korea's leader tells his military to be ready to use nuclear weapons. We'll explain the latest rhetoric.
And why airport security lines are suddenly getting longer.
TSA staffing is down. They've had budget cuts. They're supposed to have almost 6,000 fewer screeners than they had 5 years ago. And the TSA has slowed down the screening quite a bit because of security concerns.
Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney on the reason for longer lines at airports and what's being done about it. He's here in about 20 minutes. It was debate number 11 for the Republican presidential candidates. Three of the four on stage last night lobbed verbal grenades at one another, with Senators Marco Rubio of Florida and Ted Cruz of Texas trying to slow down businessman Donald Trump. Ohio Governor John Kasich, as usual, stayed out of the fray. Mr. Rubio seemed to justify his personal attacks on Mr. Trump.
He's done so about people that are disabled. He's done it about every other candidate in this race. So if there's anyone who's ever deserved to be attacked that way, it's been Donald Trump for the way he's treated people in the last campaign.
Last night's forum was in Detroit and aired on Fox News. Although Mr. Trump is drawing closer to the nomination after victories in 10 states, he again belittled his rivals, interrupted them, and shrugged off their criticisms, including one that he's donated to Democrats like Hillary Clinton.
2008, I supported Hillary Clinton. I supported many other people, by the way, and that was because of the fact that I'm in business. I did support very heavily Ronald Reagan. I also supported George Bush, by the way.
Senator Cruz, meanwhile, hammered away at Mr. Trump's donations to Mrs. Clinton.
And four of those checks were not to her Senate campaign. It wasn't that she was the New York senator and it was a cost of doing business. It was to her presidential campaign.
Meanwhile, the window for reining in Mr. Trump is closing quickly. In 11 days, Mr. Rubio and Mr. Kasich face do-or-die primaries in their home states. As if the current campaign can't get any more bizarre, both previous Republican presidential nominees are urging voters to avoid supporting the current one. Mitt Romney, the former Massachusetts governor who lost the 2012 presidential election, railed on frontrunner Donald Trump during a 17-minute speech yesterday in Utah.
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University.
And by the way, this was the same Mr. Romney who 4 years ago gladly accepted Mr. Trump's endorsement of his candidacy. Mr. Trump reminded people of that.
I backed him. You can see how loyal he is. He was begging for my endorsement. I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees. He was begging.
If that wasn't enough, Arizona Senator John McCain, the GOP nominee in the 2008 presidential election, called Mr. Trump's statements on national security, quote, uninformed and dangerous. The Wall Street Journal, by the way, says the Romney strategy, if successful, would produce the most dramatic showdown since 1976, when then-President Gerald Ford and challenger Ronald Reagan battled to the National Convention before Mr. Ford prevailed on the first ballot. Well, you might argue that although Donald Trump has established himself as the Republican presidential frontrunner, his momentum has slowed. Mr. Trump has shown he has a committed base of support from about one-third of the GOP electorate, but faces deep resistance from a faction at least that large. And as Josh Kraushaar, political editor at National Journal, points out, he won only 7 of the 11 states on Super Tuesday, despite widespread predictions of a near clean sweep. Josh, what do we have?
Well, look, if you look at the results, the Super Tuesday results, and it's pretty clear that there's a pretty hard ceiling for Donald Trump, even though he won 7 of the 11 states holding primaries and caucuses that night. Trump finished under 33% of the vote in 5 of the 11 states. He only won more than 40% of the vote in 2 states, Alabama and Massachusetts. So when you look at these polls that show, like one poll that came out last week showed Trump with 49% of the vote, the Republican vote nationally. That's not the case. I mean, we're actually looking at election results now, and Trump support has been inflated in some of these polls, and it's pretty obvious that he has a ceiling of support, that he has about a third of the party that's with him no matter what, but there's not much more support beyond that. And this is why you're seeing so many Republicans coming out in such force, Mitt Romney today, saying that there's no way they could support Trump if he is the Republican nominee.
Right. All right. So if Rubio, Cruz, Kasich had all lined up and gotten behind one of them, would this be really fractured, or would Mr. Trump not be winning by so much?
Well, the lack of consolidation in the Republican field has been a problem for the party, because Trump is getting a consistent 33, 34, 35% of the vote, but he's still winning. And you have Rubio and Cruz splitting a lot of conservatives and moderates. Kasich deprived Rubio of winning the state of Virginia, which would have been a big victory for him on Tuesday. So there is this splintering, but that's not going to change before we get to March 15th. Only Ben Carson has dropped out of the race, or is planning to drop out of the race. So we're getting to the point where Mitt Romney today is urging Ohio voters to vote for John Kasich, Florida voters to vote for Marco Rubio, and voters in states where Cruz is supposed to do well to vote for Ted Cruz. We're getting to the point where a contested convention is the only realistic way to stop Donald Trump, and that Rubio, who was attacking John Kasich, saying he should get out of the race before Tuesday, is now privately hoping he does well in his home state, and there's sort of a mutual non-aggression pact between the three leading anti-Trump candidates.
I'm speaking with Josh Krauthaar, political editor at National Journal. Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to be mean politically. Who cares what Mitt Romney says? He lost. He ran a horrible campaign in 2012 and lost. But he has credibility all of a sudden as a political speaker?
He's not going to change Trump supporters' minds. What he may do, though, is harden that ceiling that I've been talking about. The fact that there are a number of people who would consider supporting Donald Trump if their favorite candidates drop out of the race, and it's making that possibility less likely. And frankly, when you have the last nominee of your party for president refusing under any circumstances and attacking the current frontrunner of the party, I mean, this is historical what we're seeing right now. And John McCain joined in on Twitter just a little while ago. So you have the last two GOP presidential nominees saying you cannot vote, you cannot support the current GOP frontrunner for the 2016 presidential nomination. It's never happened like this. But we haven't seen this in our lifetimes, and it's only going to harden and grow this anti-Trump movement that's belatedly ramping itself up.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Krauthaar, political editor at National Journal. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, 3 of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 8866 at checkout. Code 8866.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Friday. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un today ramped up the military rhetoric, saying his nuclear weapons should be available for use at any time. His comments come as the U.S. and South Korea started working today on plans to deploy an advanced U.S. missile defense shield in South Korea. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
North Korea frequently threatens South Korea and the U.S. and has claimed before that it has the ability to mount nuclear explosives on missiles. It's not clear if Pyongyang has such capabilities. Mr. Kim's comments follow the unanimous vote by the U.N. this week to increase sanctions designed to get North Korea to drop its nuclear weapons program. North Korea also typically raises its threatening rhetoric around the time of military drills in South Korea, which will be conducted between the U.S. and South Korea this week. North Korea portrays those drills as preparation for an invasion. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The missile defense shield, by the way, that the U.S. and South Korea are discussing is called the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or THAAD. China calls it a destabilizing move for regional security. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Donald Trump has changed his mind and shifted his positions on several key policy issues, and he owned up to it during last night's GOP debate.
You have to show a degree of flexibility. If you're going to be one way and you think it's wrong, does that mean the rest of your life you have to go in the wrong direction because you don't want to change?
The debate took some wild and some unexpected turns thanks to the front runner's antics. He made reference to his own manhood within the first 5 minutes of the night, and he bestowed disparaging nicknames upon his opponents like Little Marco and Lying Ted. Cruz wasn't too happy about that.
You're angry. You're angry at Washington, and he uses angry rhetoric. But for 40 years, Donald has been part of the corruption in Washington that you're angry about.
In the end, though, all of the candidates vowed to support their party's nominee, no matter who's chosen. UN officials say they're on the verge of an agreement with the Syrian regime to get humanitarian relief flowing and to lift a ban on medical supplies to opposition-held areas as a shaky truce is still holding. The opposition has demanded immediate delivery of humanitarian relief as a condition for participating in peace talks. Obama administration officials say they're almost a year ahead of their target to change the way Medicare pays hundreds of billions of dollars to providers who are treating older Americans. The health department had wanted the federal insurance program for seniors to make 30% of its payments to doctors and hospitals on the basis of the quality of care they provide rather than the quantity by the end of 2016. That goal has already been met. As it continues its push in the healthcare field, Google is working with UNICEF to create a system using algorithms to help predict where the mosquito that carries the Zika virus might be active. Efforts to wipe out that type of mosquito can then be concentrated in those areas. Before it was released in theaters, Star Wars: The Force Awakens set records for pre-release tickets sold. Now it'll be interesting to see if it will set similar marks for pre-sales for the home video version of the blockbuster. The movie will be available for purchase on demand starting April 1st and on Blu-ray and DVD on April 5th. Disney is taking pre-orders now.
Hey, starting April 1st?
You can finally see it without going to the movies.
Not happening. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Here's some disappointing news, although since it's from the airline industry, you're probably not surprised. The TSA and airports are in a new struggle to get passengers and their carry-on bags through security in a timely fashion. We're seeing lines now that are typically more associated around the holidays. More on the growing TSA wait times from Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. Scott, what awaits us?
It's kind of a curious problem. These longer lines in January and February have really caught the industry by surprise and set off some alarms. If you're getting big backups in slow travel periods, what's going to happen when we get to spring break and summer? And so there is a lot of concern, and lines are going to be longer, and there's a combination of things going on with TSA that I think are going to catch a lot of travelers by surprise.
All right, so what's being done about it?
You start with the root causes, and one is that TSA staffing is down. They've had budget cuts. They're supposed to have almost 6,000 fewer screeners than they had 5 years ago. They're actually below their cap by about 1,500 screeners. So they're trying to hire more to catch up to the cap, but it's still going to be reduced. At the same time, we've seen passenger traffic grow, and at some airports, really sizable. Atlanta, for example, where there have been really long lines, hour-long lines, somewhat routinely in in January and February. They say their local passenger traffic is up about 14% compared to last year. And the third element is that TSA has slowed down the screening quite a bit because of security concerns.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. His piece is called Why Airport Security Lines Have Grown Longer. You quoted, too, Doug Parker, the CEO at American, who said, yeah, it's only going to get worse as travel ramps up in the spring and summer. That's got to be a tough statement for him to make, given the, you know, that's his business. He might be scaring people away.
Yeah, no, it's not taken lightly, as you point out. You know, we've kind of been through this before, and what happens is that a lot of short-haul travel in particular disappears for airlines. They stand to lose a lot of business, and I think that's one reason they are stepping out and sort of sounding the alarm. If it takes you, you know, an hour routinely to get through screening, there are a lot of trips that people are going to get in the car and drive instead of fly or get on the train and go, or just not go. It can impact travel considerably. It's interesting if you need nothing more as sort of a warning shot fired. Both TSA and airlines and airports are now advising people to show up for domestic flights 2 hours ahead of time and 3 hours for international flights. And that's up, you know, in general, about 30 minutes.
Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. Good luck with your spring break and summer travel plans. Wow. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Sometimes it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day, even when you're working past the typical 9-to-5. So if you're still making time-consuming trips to the post office, you need a better way. You need to use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, get the postage you need the instant you need it. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer and printer. It's that quick and easy. You'll save money with Stamps.com, too. It's just a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. Plus, you'll get special postage discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter the code Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, March 4. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. More finger pointing at the latest Republican presidential debate. Democratic Forum on Fox on Monday night. Bernie will be there, not Hillary. A New Jersey family getting $200,000 after a cop flipped over the desk of their fifth grader during a presentation on bullying. UFC 196 tomorrow. Conor McGregor says he'll slaughter Nate Diaz like a gazelle in the wild. Caitlyn Jenner, by the way, likes Ted Cruz, would like to be his trans ambassador. And how Italians are selling their souls when it comes to coffee. That story in about 20 minutes. So what now for Florida Senator Marco Rubio, once saying that he was the Republican presidential candidate that others should rally around, claiming he had the best shot of unifying the party in an effort to stop Donald Trump? Ledge King in the Washington Bureau at USA Today says Mr. Rubio's uninspiring performance on Super Tuesday, in which he won only the Minnesota caucuses, means his best option may be a brokered convention this summer. Ledge, how so?
It wasn't that long ago, maybe a week or so ago, that Rubio was trying to rally the other candidates behind him and say that he was the person that should take on Trump. But because he did so poorly on Super Tuesday, winning just one out of the 11 states, his best bet now might be to get to a convention and basically slog along with all the other candidates still in the race, or the other two besides Trump, and try to pick off as many delegates as possible, with the end game being preventing Trump from getting the 1,237 delegates he needs for the nomination. At that point, it would go to a convention where, after the first ballot, most delegates would be essentially free to choose who they want. And under that scenario, Rubio might actually have a chance to get the nomination.
Okay, so that said, what does it take to get there? Just money? Just to hang on through all these primaries and caucuses?
Well, essentially, I mean, he's vowing to go on. I mean, I think he has to, well, for one, he has to win 2 weeks or almost 2 weeks around Florida, March 15th. He has to win that race. It's a winner-take-all contest. It's his home state. And if he doesn't win that race, he can't legitimately, I think, make the claim that he should at least be considered to come to the convention, even if he keeps going.
Okay.
Kasich in Ohio has to basically do the same thing. He has to win Ohio in order to make for him to make that case. I mean, it's not just Rubio that's going to be making the case. If we do indeed get to a brokered convention, it's going to be Cruz, it's going to be Kasich, it's going to be Rubio, it's going to be Trump, obviously, because he'll probably have the most delegates.
Mm.
But it's kind of an unknown territory if that's what happens.
Yeah. We're speaking with Ledge King, Washington Bureau reporter at USA Today. He's got a piece entitled, "With Only One Win, Senator Marco Rubio's Best Bet Might Be a Brokered Convention." So back up just a bit, I guess. Explain what exactly a brokered convention is.
Well, it's essentially a convention where the front runner does not have the delegates to claim the nomination outright. That is to say, the 1,237 delegates that these candidates are vying for in the states and the territories that hold primaries and caucuses. So if you don't get enough, if you don't reach that magic number on that first ballot, you then go to a second ballot where anything can be game, potentially. Some states require you, a few of the delegates are bound to go to stick with their candidate for that second ballot, but most are not, which is why this whole thing could be, in essence, brokered by people who are, you know, party elders, people running the party, interests within the party. In essence, they come up with maybe a compromise candidate.
What could that mean for the party if it gets that far? July, right?
July in Cleveland, yeah. My God, who knows? I mean, it's already fracturing the party. The Trump candidacy is already fracturing the party. You're seeing a huge divide between Trump and this populist outsider movement and Rubio and Kasich and the more establishment-friendly candidates that are gravitating towards the old school Republicans, sort of mainstream Republicans, they're called. You've also got Ted Cruz, who's tapping into the evangelical side of things. So in a way, you've got three movements at play. But clearly, it's coalescing to Trump and anti-Trump. So if you get to the convention, if Trump, as expected, may not have all the delegates, but has the most delegates, it will be a incredibly divisive, electrifying moment if the party elders say, you can't get the nomination, even though you have the most delegates, Donald Trump, because we don't want you to be the nominee. I mean, that has a danger of splitting the party big time.
Thanks, Ledge. Ledge King in the Washington Bureau at USA Today. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by LifeLock. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock Ultimate Plus provides the most comprehensive identity theft protection. Go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Gordon for 10% off. It's time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler in her usual spot on Fridays. Nina, start with Scott Kelly.
Hi, Gordon. Yes, Scott Kelly returned to Earth after 340 days in space, which is actually the most consecutive time in space, than any other American has spent. And, you know, so researchers are now looking into the long-term effects on the human body from living in space. And Scott, he actually has an identical twin brother named Mark, and he came back, and he's actually grown 2 inches taller after living nearly a year aboard the International Space Station. So we saw people looking for questions, you know, when is Scott Kelly coming back? How will Scott Kelly return to Earth? Where is he landing? People just wanting more clarity around, you know, when he's coming back and, you know, and where it would be. So happy to have him back back home.
Yeah. Well, I was fascinated by some of the numbers. I mean, when he was heading back to Earth, like at one point he was reaching speeds of 5 miles per second. Like, I think he had traveled almost 144 million miles during that trip. And
it's speaking amazing.
Speaking of effects on the human body, Nina, I was discussing this with my wife last night. There are no showers aboard the International Space Station. You can't shower, right? So you are sponge bathing for a year.
For a year, yeah.
That really is a game changer.
That's probably one of the things that he was most happy about, you know, being back. Being back.
He got home on Thursday. I think he's probably still in a nice hot shower today. That'd be my guess. What else is trending?
You know, also, Monday was Leap Day, and, you know, that comes once every 4 years. So people came to Google to learn more about the history of the extra calendar day and also some of the funny traditions. And, you know, there's always a lot of interest around it, people wanting to know, why is there a Leap Day every 4 years? What is Leap Day? How did this come about? What does Leap Day even mean? And actually, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he took to Twitter and explained that, you know, our rotation around the sun is a journey that usually takes about 365 and a quarter days. So we just ignore that quarter day and sweep it under the rug for 3 years. And then every 4 years, we add on that extra day. So that's kind of the backstory behind it and people coming to Google to find out more.
I got to play this clip of the last week Tonight Show with John Oliver regarding Donald Trump.
Since 1988, every candidate who's won the most states on Super Tuesday went on to become their party's nominee. So at this point, Donald Trump is America's back mole. It may have seemed harmless a year ago, but now that it's gotten frighteningly bigger, it is no longer wise to ignore it.
All right, this one became a popular search topic.
This was a very popular search topic on YouTube. This is this week's trending video. He did a segment about Donald Trump, and you know he dedicated his satirical news show to debunking some myths about the presidential candidate, including a fact about his last name. The video it has over 17 million hits on YouTube
wow.
to date, and it's just it's been shared, and people are engaging with it and talking about it and really buzzing about it because it's hilarious.
Very good. Hey, good stuff as always. Thank you, Nina. Google Trends expert Nina Tyler with us live this morning, 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you've got a growing business, every hire's huge. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. With over 180 million visitors a month, your next star employee is searching on Indeed. It's easy. You can create a job listing in less than 5 minutes and start receiving qualified applicants as soon as today. Try Indeed for free today. Go to Indeed.com/CBS to post a free job in minutes. That's Indeed.com/CBS. Terms and job quality standards apply. 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Former North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un says the nation's nuclear programs should be available for use at any time, raising Pyongyang's militaristic rhetoric following U.S.-led moves to impose sanctions on the nation. North Korea has claimed before it has the ability to build nuclear missiles, although there's some skepticism about that in the West. The battle lines continue to be drawn in the showdown between Apple and the FBI over an encrypted iPhone used by a terrorist shooter. A number of top tech companies have thrown in their lot with Apple, as have many security experts, independent programmers, and civil liberties advocates. They all say Apple shouldn't be forced to craft a way for the federal government to hack into a smartphone used by one of the San Bernardino mass shooters. Students from MIT and Britain's University of Cambridge will spend the weekend hacking one another's computers as part of a contest that President Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron announced last year as part of joint cybersecurity projects between the two nations. Six teams made up of students from both schools are gathering at MIT today, and for a frenzied 24 hours, will try to hack into opponents' computers and steal a trove of files. The NFL laid out its case in a Manhattan courtroom to appeal a judge's decision to overturn Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's punishment in last year's Deflategate scandal. Attorney Paul Clement represented the NFL.
The Second Circuit was obviously very well prepared for this case and heard the arguments from both sides, and we appreciated the opportunity to present our arguments to the Second Circuit today and look forward to their decision.
The NFL suspended Brady for the first four games of the 2015 season, but a judge ruled in September that Brady received inadequate notice of his alleged misconduct and potential discipline. The suspension was subsequently overturned, and Brady was allowed to play. And you might like the boost, but for your heart's sake, go easy on the energy drinks. A new study finds guzzling the jacked up beverages can raise the risk for an abnormal heart rhythm and increase blood pressure. If you have heart problems, you need to be especially careful.
Do I ever get those palpitations?
Sometimes like, from caffeine, yes.
Yeah.
Coffee. I don't drink energy drinks.
Got one from a sports drink one time after a workout.
Oh.
And whoa.
It's a little scary, isn't it?
Lasted like 12 hours.
Oh,
you know, it wouldn't go away. It's hard to fall asleep. Oof. Scary. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Italians have always looked down their noses at U.S. coffee trends, right? Especially Starbucks with its use of Italian-style words like grande, plus those paper cups and seasonal ingredients like pumpkin. Also, in Italy, at a cafe, you toss back your Java while standing at the bar. Walking down the street with a coffee cup in hand? Yeah, no. Widely considered unhealthy and ill-mannered. In fact, a hairdresser from Naples says of her two kids, who do not drink coffee on the run, they're not those kind of kids. Some say it's time, though, to defend Italian coffee tradition. Many believe the only real coffee is espresso. But the Wall Street Journal says more cafes in Italy now offer flavored coffee. And coffee maker Luigi Lavazza is out with a new blend made especially to brew American-style coffee. Nestle's home coffee machines that can make chocolate cappuccino are selling well in Italy. The use of coffee pods in home machines in Italy has soared 70% since 2012. Are Italians selling their souls when it comes to coffee? That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Don't pay your next medical bill until you get a second opinion. Why? Because 80% of all medical bills are wrong. Mistakes that are costing American families like yours and mine over $100 billion in overcharges annually. That adds up to about $1,000 per family per year. That's why I'm so impressed with Remedy. Remedy was created to make sure people never overpay due to medical billing mistakes. Here's what to do. First, simply send your medical bill to Remedy. Next, Remedy's medical specialists review your bills for mistakes, from double billings to bad addresses to incorrect medical codes, mistakes that could cost you thousands, even with insurance. Then Remedy finds and corrects any mistakes while working with your doctor's office and insurance company so you don't overpay. And here's the best part. If Remedy can't save you money, they won't charge you a dime. Go to tryremedy.com/deal, where there's never a charge unless they save you money. Again, the website, tryremedy.com/deal.